Can I pray before we kick off? Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks for your word that you left with us and by which you reveal yourself to us. We pray that now as we open it, you will open our minds to understand and our hearts to believe the truths that you have for us today. I pray that you help me to teach clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Important dates. How many people have been hanging out for the grand final today? Counting down the weeks and the days, or the months and the weeks and the days. A couple of people. What about other important dates? How many people hang out for Christmas? How many people hang out for school holidays? Yeah, a lot of young hands have gone up there, and some teachers. Yeah, good stuff. Well, for me, a fairly important date is coming up just after TBW, which is another important date. Way back in April of this year, I started to plan for a holiday. Sue and I haven't been away together for about 3 years. I think the last time we had a trip away. And having discussed suitable dates with Sue, we agreed on 2 weeks in November. So from April till November, I've had to wait and wait and wait. But in the early part of that, I booked a holiday property on the riverfront in Ballina. So we're going up there for 2 weeks and I'm going to get some fishing in. Ever since I booked the property, though, I've been looking forward to that time when Sue and I are going to be relaxing and sharing some time together away from the nitty-gritty of everyday life. And from April, even right up till now, each month and sometimes even each week, as life sometimes seemed hard to take, I've taken to thinking on and looking forward to that time as a means to encourage myself to keep going. One more day. It's a day closer to the holiday, Les. But in all honesty, that 7 months of waiting for the holiday and the 2 weeks that we're going to be away for will be as nothing compared to what I have to look forward to when my Saviour returns to take me home to be with God for the rest of eternity. How often do you think on what God has promised you? Especially, do you remember his promises when your life seems too hard to bear? Do you get tempted by the things of this world and start to question whether your faith is real, whether heaven really exists? When you look around and people around you seem to be having a really good time living for today, no thought for the future, and certainly not concerned with God, do you sometimes get doubts? Well, these are the circumstances that leads Peter to write this letter, or this part of this letter at least. He's written it from verse 2 of chapter 1 to those who have obtained a faith equal with ours by the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Peter wants us not to be distracted by the things of the world around us. He wants us not to be misled by scoffers. And he wants us to stand firm in our faith, and that faith reinforced by knowledge of the certainty of the promises of God. And today's passage, beginning at verse 12 of chapter 1, begins with a therefore. So we know it must be following on from what was previously written. In verse 12 he says, "Therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." Well, to make sure we have today's passage in the correct context, we need to understand what the therefore is there for. What qualities does Peter intend to remind us of? So we need to do a little bit of backtracking before we start moving forward. If you look just a little bit back at verse 10, you see that he says, if you practice these qualities. So it's a reference to qualities again. And back a little bit further to verse 8, if these qualities are yours. Okay, what qualities? We go back to verses 5 to 7 and we see the passage that was included in what Steve taught us last week, where he encourages to have faith, to add to faith virtue, to add knowledge to our virtue, self-control to our knowledge, steadfastness to our self-control, godliness to our steadfastness, and brotherly affection and love. These are the qualities that he intends to remind you of, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. And in verse 13, he makes it seem really important for us. As long as I have breath, I will stir you up to remember these things. verse 14, because I know I'm about to die, I need to make every effort, verse 15, so that after my departure, you will be able to recall these things for yourselves at any time. So for Peter, it's a very important thing for us to remember some things, to hold fast to these virtues, but also to fasten those virtues on some important concepts that he's going to lead us into in the remaining part of this passage. In verses 16 to 18, he tells us that he didn't follow clever myths when he made Jesus Christ known to us, but he does own to being an eyewitness. We were there. We were eyewitnesses and heard the voice of God on the mountain. You find that reference in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, at the time when Jesus was transfigured and met with Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop, and the point at which God said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." In the Jewish legal system, we need two or three witnesses required to establish truth in testimony about something. Now, Peter says, we were eyewitnesses. Do you know who the other two eyewitnesses were that were with him? Can you remember? James and John. Very good. So three witnesses, Peter, James and John, all saw Jesus transfigured with Moses and Elijah on the mountain, and they heard the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." As far as Jewish law is concerned, that testimony is secure in truth. Their testimony is sufficient to trust what they say is truth. And yet Peter goes on to establish an even more solid testimony in verse 19. He says, "We have something even more sure than eyewitness testimony." And he's pointing to the coming of Jesus being told by the prophets. And he goes on to explain that in verses 20 and 21 that no prophecy was by the will of man, but was carried along by the Holy Spirit and was written down and given by God. Now, with this pointing to the prophets, Peter's actually referring to there are over 360 prophecies about Jesus throughout all of the Old Testament scriptures, what we know as the Old Testament, what the people that he was writing to in that day would have known as the law and the prophets. From their knowledge of the law and the prophets, Peter's listeners in that day would have known immediately the references that Peter was making to the law and the prophets, what he was referring to. For us, this is one important reason that we should continue to read and to struggle to understand the Old Testament for ourselves, because so much of the New Testament is fulfillment of the Old Testament. If we don't understand the Old Testament, then we don't see how the New Testament fulfills it. Now, I'm going to take a little while here and give you just a few of the references that Peter would have been thinking about when he made this comment. And these were written hundreds of years before Jesus came. But each one points to some aspect of what we know as the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And you might want to take the readings down so you can check them up for yourself. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." Now, just as an aside to that one, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, picks up on this in chapter 10, verse 4, where he writes, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So the Old Testament and the New Testament are aligning just in that one prophecy. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days." And Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 6. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have laboured in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. And now the Lord says, He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honoured in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength, he says, It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. We see the fulfillment of that prophecy, you and I today, Gentiles from the end of the earth, called by the Christ, the Messiah. Psalm 2, verse 7. The Lord said to me, You are my son, this day I have begotten you. And we heard that when Jesus was baptized in the river. Isaiah 52, verses 13 to 15. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. And a passage that all of us will remember, and I'll expect something at the end of this one, Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 6. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. Thank you. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 33, and this is the book. This is the second bookend. This will close out this series of readings. Prophecies from the prophets, the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 33. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And there we have the prophecy of the Holy Spirit coming to indwell us, to write God's law on our hearts. So this is just a small sample of the over 300 prophecies to Jesus in the Old Testament that Peter is referring to. What is his purpose in exhorting the people to remember these prophecies? They've already come true. They've already been fulfilled. But we need, for the answer to this question, we need to move through to chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. And Peter's second exhortation, to stand firm in the faith. Have you ever had a non-Christian ask you if there really is a God? And if there is, why does he allow so much suffering in the world? Or even worse, have you even had people blaming God for causing the suffering, as so many people see suffering as his punishment on the world? Well, when scoffers question the existence of God, or they question whether Jesus will come again and try to tempt you to enjoy life today, you only live once, and all that sort of stuff, remember the prophets. If God promised the first coming through the Old Testament, and he fulfilled that promise, he can certainly be trusted to fulfill his promise for the second coming. This is what Peter in chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, wants to remind us of. and to make sure that we can recall these things at any time. Chapter 3, verse 1, he goes on to exhort them again. This is my second letter, and in both of them I stir you up to remember. Why does he do that? Because he knows, as we know from our lives today, that scoffers will come and they will try to lead us away from God. They will question loudly the promises of God, and certainly they'll scoff at God's promise of Jesus' second coming, as he says there. They question it. You know, things haven't changed since the beginning of time. We still wait, but God doesn't come. But if you don't remember what the prophets spoke about the first coming, you may also not remember about Jesus' promise to return in the New Testament. In Luke at chapter 21, verses 25 to 28, Jesus says, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man come in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And in John 14, at verses 1 to 3, Jesus also said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And in John 14, at 25 to 29, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." What's been going through your mind as you've been watching TV or listening to radio and reading the print media about tsunamis and earthquakes and even experiencing red dust storms across the face of this state? So even as we see the television and hear the radio and read the print, floods and bushfires, droughts and famines, and we struggle with the scale of the devastation and grief that these things bring, we need to remember that Jesus predicted it. And also, as we remember that he predicted it, remember that our redemption is drawing near. Do not let scoffers distract you from being obedient to God's calling and Jesus' command to love one another. And Peter's final exhortation for today's session, his exhortation to trust in God's timing. Chapter 3, verse 15, "God's patience in holding off the second coming is salvation for many." We need to remember that God is not constrained by time as we are. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and it's by these things that we measure time. God doesn't need them to measure his time. And we see back in verse 8 that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, thinking about my holiday again, I'm well aware that the timing of any one of a number of different events could cause me to miss that holiday that I planned for November. Sickness, car troubles, job security, anything like that could cause me to miss my holiday. But just as Peter encourages us to remember the prophets and their pointers to God's plans and promises, I am convinced that Jesus will come again. And nothing will stop me from rejoicing on that day. Our lifetime is so much less than 1,000 years, and yet so much more than a day. But God is from everlasting to everlasting, and he has planned the time when Christ will return. And so if, like me, from time to time you pray that Lord Jesus would come, because life in this world sometimes is too hard to take, remember chapter 3, verse 15. Count the patience of our Lord as salvation. And remember again Paul's words in Romans 10 at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And in remembering those things, just live each day in knowledge that Christ has done everything that is necessary for you to share eternity with him. And allow that to encourage you to stand fast in your faith as you wait for him to come. Remember also that if Jesus had returned any time between the, say, 100 AD and the year AD that you accepted Christ as your Saviour, you wouldn't have eternity with God to look forward to. God's patience in Christ's second coming has been your salvation and my salvation. All God asks of us is that we remember the truth, remain steadfast in our faith, and spread the gospel of Christ for salvation to all whom he has chosen that have not yet accepted his invitation. These are the things that Peter gave his dying breath to encourage and remind the people of his day. And we have his letter to encourage us today. Shall we pray? Father God, as we struggle with the events of the world around us, the disasters in creation that are causing so much devastation and grief, we pray that you would help each one of us to remember the prophets and the promises that you made through them were fulfilled in Jesus. And then help us to remember the promises that Jesus made, that he will come again. And help us to hold our heads high as we wait patiently for the day when you send him. And as we wait, help us to be diligent in sharing the gospel with those who have not yet heard the news and have not yet accepted Christ as Saviour. And we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.